Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Goldbridge Saves Football podcast. We're excited. It's 2025. Lots to talk about. It's the Premier League halftime report as well. And we've got some really good topics to get into as we hit 2025 with you, the Ultras. And Man United ruined my Christmas. But someone who can, you know, take us with a big bounce into the new year is Will, who probably had a good Christmas with Birmingham. I don't know.
I feel like a big bounce, the amount of chocolate I've eaten, but more on that later. No, two draws I witnessed, which is good. Top of the league, 10 unbeaten. Some people saying, oh, I don't know if I do. We're top of the league. Let's have some sort of perspective. We don't get this. But I've had a great Christmas, but it's better to be back with you in 2025.
Well, I actually do. I mean, let us know in the chat if you had a good Christmas or not. Don't get too depressing. I don't want to hear about pets passing or, you know, any of that. But look, I actually had a really good Christmas. We were just talking about it there. But thinking about it in a footballing sense, the weekend before Christmas, 3-0 loss to Bournemouth. Boxing Day, 2-0 loss to Wolves. And then Monday before New Year, 3-0 loss to Newcastle. That's three losses, three bad performances, and no goals scored. I mean, I should be depressed, Will. But actually, I had a good Christmas with family and friends. It was really, really good. But in a footballing sense, Manchester United ruined my Christmas. And all I'm surrounded by is Instagram posts, motivational Instagram posts from Bruno Fernandes on New Year's Day saying, ignore the bad people. It's the good people that matter. I tell you what, don't ignore the bloody league table, you prat. We're 14th. You got sent off. Do better in 2025 and stop posting inspirational bloody tweet. And on top of that, Liverpool are top.
Yeah, I mean, I caught the Boxing Day game and then I'm up in Manchester at the moment, so surrounded by Manchester United fans, and that they were very depressed. And it just feels quite toxic again, which I'm sure I get a lot of your tweets, obviously, that come up and people that are tweeting at you, the good, the bad and the ugly. It just feels a bit stinky. It doesn't feel good. This is the analysis you sort of after but at the end of the day, I just feel with him, there's hope, which is something that you can sort of get attached to. So all is not lost. But you're going to need a couple of wins because otherwise it could be Blues versus Manchester United in the Championship next season.
It won't be, but it could be. But I think that in general, football this, as we go into 2025 and we're going to do this half-term report and we're going to talk about our predictions for the year, I think that in general, you know, you look at Man City, I know they managed to win a game the other day, but they're just out of it. Liverpool are top, Arsenal second, Forest are third. Chelsea had a bit of a wobble over Christmas, but they're up in the top four as well. The Bournemouths, the Fulhams, Newcastle have had a renaissance as well. There's so much to unpick, but there are some massive... I mean, I don't know what they've put in the water in Manchester. You're up there.
Yeah.
Can we have a live taste test? Does it taste a bit funny? Because Man City, my prediction to win the title by Christmas, are out of the title race by Christmas, and as bad as things have been with Manchester United... I mean, as I said, it's incredible when you think about it that every game lost and no goals scored three games over Christmas. There's something going wrong in Manchester at the moment. He's gone. I can't hear him.
Your prediction was Manchester City to win the league, Pep manager of the season, Erling Haaland top goal scorer. What do you make of that now?
Well, Erling Haaland might still win goal scorer. Can we just say I did predict Liverpool to win the Champions League and Mo Salah for player of the year? So, you know, there is a method to that madness.
To be fair to you, I was watching back the video this morning. I actually had to watch it through gritted teeth because you were I've put some things that you put in brackets. You put Liverpool third, but then you said, don't rule them out for outsiders for the title race. So,
okay.
I don't like to praise you, but I'm going to have to put some praise
on that
name.
Knowledge is power.
Newcastle. Well, let's start at the top. Yeah, Manchester City. I watched them against Aston Villa and I thought that was the epitome of everything that had gone wrong. The first minute, I mean, we mentioned it before. I was supposed to interview Guardiola back in the start of December, end of November. I mean, it's a good job we didn't because that would have never seen the light of day. We'd have wasted a load of money because since then he's been absolutely awful. Villa should have been 2-0 up in the first minute, shouldn't they? Mm. And I just thought that was even the Leicester game, I was watching the highlights back of that. Leicester had chances to make it 1-1, 1-0. So one of the other predictions, which actually might come full circle and do a big U-turn, was you said Pep Guardiola to retire.
Yeah, I still think he's gone in the summer. And it's funny, actually, Christmas highlights. I was at Centre Parks that weekend and I'd booked it ages ago. And I was like, Man United are playing in Bournemouth. I can leave it in the safe hands of Ricky and Beth in Manchester. It'll be a comfortable 3-0 win, and I'll just do a quick 10-minute match reaction. I'm sat there watching it in Centre Parks on a laptop stream on my own with a can of Carling. I think I might have sent you a picture. I've got a picture of it somewhere. And I was absolutely fuming. But the day before, I'd been in the sports bar there watching Man City Villa. And I wasn't going to do a match reaction for That's Football, but I got on the bike, pedalled really quickly back to the flat, got the phone, and then just that's where I ran through the woods going, Feliz Navidad. I was absolutely hammered. So that's one of my highlights of Christmas. But yeah, I mean, I just think you're right. When you watch the Leicester game, I just felt with Man City, it was a bit of a blip. But when I watch Man City at the moment, they're just not very good. And it's 2025. Has anyone got any new ideas on why Man City are so bad? I mean, that conspiracy that they're doing it on purpose to try and get a lesser fine from the Premier League, because they sort of go, they're not that good, really. It doesn't really matter. We don't need to relegate them. But I still think it comes down to Rodri, Will. I just think if they had Rodri in that team, they would be better, which is scary when you've got the best manager in the world, the best striker in the world, the best squad in the world, but you are fundamentally locked in on a, you know, one-man team, Rodri. And I think that's the only explanation, because they look remarkably ordinary. And I do think there's an element of the players not downing tools, but maybe, you know, they're multimillionaires. They've almost ran their course. They've done it all with Pep, and maybe they're just a bit like, I don't want to run around as much anymore. I fancy a change.
The annoying thing is, as well, it almost feels like you're not allowed to say that Rodri's the problem.
No, you're not.
Like, it must be something else now, but it's like fundamentally they've built that side around a man that is the workhorse in there. And like, I mean, the evidence is like, it's there for all to see. So people getting all uppity about that, saying that you're not allowed to say it, I think you need to have a look at yourselves, really. And it's just good, isn't it? I feel this season, out of all, and Manchester City is the epitome of that, is we've got a Premier League back, like Arsenal 6 points behind. Do you want to move on to Arsenal now? Because you had them in second.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm more than happy to keep putting off Liverpool and Man United chat, and that's absolutely fine. Arsenal, look, you know what? I did the watch along for Arsenal Brentford last night, and I said that Brentford would win, and I had a load of Arsenal fans messaging me going, "Nah, you said Arsenal would lose." Sorry, I said, yeah, and I said Brentford would win. I was like, hold on a minute, it's just a bloody prediction. I can't go to prison because Arsenal won. And actually, I want Arsenal to win. I just thought the Saka injury, they've dropped so many points, haven't they? Everton,
well,
Brighton.
Brentford's home form as well. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. And they went 1-0 ahead. So I think for Arsenal, again, Arteta, again, just proving that every time he sort of gets knocked, Arsenal seem to respond. And they've got themselves back into second when they were drifting a little bit. And I still think they'll drop more points than Liverpool, but if they can make a bit of a game of it, they're surely the only ones that can. I mean, Chelsea disappointed me over Christmas with, was it 1 point from six? We'll talk about them in a minute. But I think Arsenal are the most likely, but I just still don't think they can do it.
And I think with them as well, like you touched on it in that pre-season prediction video. I think you had them for the Carabao Cup, but like, we're going to be saying who's going to be the biggest loser of 2025, possibly. And if Arsenal come away from another year and another season without a trophy, I think that's when the pressure starts to grow. I think that's wrong. But if Arsenal finish second, don't get a trophy, like, do you feel like me that they're just going to be, you know, Arsenal fan TV could be ramping up the pressure?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously we know Robbie and we like Robbie, and, you know, he can't help the fact that, to be honest, there's been a lot of people associated with that AFTV movement about being anti-manager, because that's what they were doing under Wenger. I think that is bubbling. I mean, there are certain Arsenal fans out there that I think never really liked Arteta and can't move past the fact that when you look at it, they are doing remarkably well. I mean, I saw something a couple of days ago that for 2024, they actually were the best team statistically on points, but it's not a calendar year, it's a football season. But that, you know, what I would take from that as an Arsenal fan is that you are so consistent. You do defend consistently well, you do win a lot of games, and he consistently puts you in the conversation. The trouble is you want to win the conversation, and I don't know whether that will happen. And it's almost like Arsenal fans, they've never won a European Cup, and they have won titles in my lifetime, even under George Graham in the old Division One. But there's this sense of entitlement in the Arsenal fan base that might push Arteta out. And the scary thing is, you've seen it with West Ham and David Moyes. If Arsenal force Arteta out because they think there's a manager that's going to take them to the title, I actually think Arteta's overachieved over the last 3 years. So reality could bite and you'd be worse. But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting. You sort of think that maybe Arteta might be gone this time next year.
I just think sometimes it's like you get to the end of a cycle sometimes with managers, and I completely disagree with it because it's like you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And the whole backdrop to the Arsenal sort of finishing second and maybe not winning is because of Manchester City's dominance, and we're only 6 months into them not even sort of, you know, having this terrible run and probably not winning the league, and they probably could still win other cups as well. So I think this is the first year they've had a clear run, and that's what will spike that sort of negativity and that sort of, well, if not us, why them? And if Liverpool win the Premier League, and especially if they win it by a canter, which they could do, Arsenal could catch up. I think that's when people will start to be like, well, you know, Ancelotti might be over here, someone might be over there. And really, they're still building, like we said, isn't it? Like, they need to nail Champions League football every year, get further in that competition, keep building up the squad, keep adding those Declan Rice grade A pieces, and hopefully they'll be able to topple the Manchester City or a Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, I get the feeling Arsenal fans won't be happy with second place because it's third time second. But the circumstances this year are that Liverpool are a better team this year than Man City were last year. But I think Arsenal fans are locked in on, we were second to Man City, they fell off, we should be top. But Liverpool are, well, they 6 points clear of Arsenal with a game in hand. That's basically 9 points if they win the game in hand. And I look at the two teams and Arsenal would need to win three and Liverpool lose three. And then keep doing it. It's very, very difficult.
Do you think they'll almost look on last season as like even more frustrating because of you can't take Manchester City out of it, but like their injury record last year was absolutely unbelievable, wasn't it? And like obviously they had Odegaard out, now they got Saka out. Liverpool full strength. I'm sure we'll come on to Trent Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold, but they look like they're keeping them fresh. And I think that may be a real opportunity that was missed back then.
Well, I just can't get over how many games there are actually to play in January because we haven't got the international break. There's a couple of Champions League games, but Arsenal have already played one in January. They've got Brighton, Newcastle, Man United, Tottenham, Villa, Zagreb, Wolves and Girona. So that's what, 3, 6, 9 games in January with no Saka. And no prospect of them doing anything in the window either. So I just think Arsenal second place, I still think that that's a really good achievement for them. And I just don't think they look like title winners to me this year.
Yeah. Should we move on to Liverpool? Because obviously the big contract talks, they're top of the league. They've got a new manager. Looks like Van Dijk and Salah are staying. Trent's off to Real Madrid. Let's start with a negative because that's a positive for you. Trent, out of the academy, one of their best players, potentially leaving on a free, might be 20 mil in January. You happy with that?
I think it's be very interested to see what people are writing in the comments on this, because I think it's a split opinion one, isn't it? He wants to go and play somewhere else, doesn't he? That's very, very clear. He's Liverpool, he's through the academy. So, you know, you think about the likes of Scholes and Giggs who never left and loved the club, etc. But you know, you don't know what Trent's like as a person. You don't know who's surrounding him. You know, he's obviously, he could be a complete and utter arrogant, self-centered arsehole who's just like, I'm an ego, I want to go and play for Real Madrid. He might stay at Liverpool and say this is the club that he wants to be at. I mean, to be honest with you, I think with the modern game, there are people who go and play in Saudi, China, you know, I don't feel bad for Liverpool fans, but I put it into a Man United perspective. If that was a Man United player who is going to leave the club in his mid-20s as one of the best players in his position to go and play at Real Madrid for nothing, I think I'd be mightily pissed off, actually. You know, if this was like Paul Scholes doing this at 25 and leaving us for nothing, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's the fact that he's going for nothing. The clubs gets nothing for it. But people around him might go, well, you've had 5 years of me, you know, being a really, really good player. Maybe this is the way it's going to go now. You know, players are just going to run their contracts down and go. And that loyalty, maybe that's a misrepresentation of what loyalty actually is. Does a player have to, you know, Harry Kane got Spurs money, didn't he, when he went to Bayern Munich? He didn't run his contract down. But I think that's the problem here. It's not that Trent's going to go.
Think that's where like Liverpool, Carragher spoke about it, I think, when around the Salah stuff, like Liverpool is still this club where there's still a 1% that are always going to be above them because they will refuse to pay a certain amount of wage or transfer fee. And when it gets to a certain point, rightly or wrongly, they cut it off. Now, with Trent obviously being an academy player, he's obviously perceived he's not had the right offer over the time. I thought it was most telling. He did an interview for Sky couple of months back, and it was there was different things out on the table of what he wanted to achieve, and it was when he picked up the Ballon d'Or and he said, I want to be the first right back to win the Ballon d'Or. And like, you know, we have it with Jude Bellingham and people criticize him for this sort of individualism, and you know, it's a bit American, isn't it, the way that they're taking on these personas. But I think Trent's got that, and he really wants to sort of build a legacy outside of Liverpool. And also, you know, people compare it to the Gerrard situation, but Trent at his age has already won Champions League, Premier League, and he's been part of an absolute successful era. So maybe he just wants a new challenge.
I haven't got a problem with him going to Real Madrid. It's hard for Liverpool fans to hear that, but I haven't got a problem with that. I think it's just it's that whole fans will just feel like you're leaving the club for nothing and we're not getting anything for you. And I think that's what it comes down to. And I can understand both sides, but to go and play for Real Madrid at that age and, you know, personal ambition... Yeah, I mean, look at Mo Salah at Liverpool. He can't get in the bloody top five for Ballon d'Or, and we all know he should be. So going to Real Madrid to enhance your brand, whether it's a player or off the field, you can't knock that. He's right to do that. But I just think, you know, it would have been nice for him to get a bit of money for the club. But maybe he can't get out of the club without running his contract down.
Still might get a bit of money, though. I mean, I saw reports this morning of 20 mil in January, but then he's sort of in a bit of a catch-22 situation, isn't it? Because, I mean, the history books, when you look at back, Trent going for 20 mil to Real Madrid in January, obviously not with the caveat of the contract, it just looks a bit, doesn't it? So, should we move on to Manchester United? You've obviously talked to death about them on the United stand. Congratulations on 2 million subscribers. There's a positive for you. But it's not been good. It's not been pretty. It's a bit like the leftovers on Christmas Day. You've still got to flirt. You've still got to have them. You've still got to take them in. But you might not want them because you've had too much cheese. You've had too much pate. But we're going to talk about Manchester United because it's not looking good, bruv.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just before we get on to that, I've got a Christmas prediction that you might not have done because you're not in London. Would you have took your Christmas tree down by now?
Yeah, I'm not back. Yeah, so I'm not back in London till Saturday. So. I like to keep it up, actually.
Oh, traditionalist.
And the Christmas tree. I like it. What about you?
Well, it's here. It's next to me.
I can't see. You're a bit cut off there.
Oh, yeah, I've still got it up.
Is that real? And the tree? No, is that real or fake?
That's a fake one. I get why people take them down, but I almost think, like, you know, they're down for a long time, aren't they? And it is the 12 days of Christmas, but as long as you don't take it down on Boxing Day, I just think you are a word that rhymes with runt and begins with C.
Yeah, nice. Well, I was going to say, I just thought of another question when you were speaking about Arsenal. Would you like the football season to run as a calendar year?
It'd be very hard on the players, 12 months.
But like because I just find it mental that we don't play football in summer. You think how bad the weather is here. Like, I mean, there's flooding all around me around here, and we choose to play the most amount of football in the worst period of weather.
I tell you what's great, though. I mean, having festive football, whether it's Premier League, League One, whatever, is just so good. I mean, I was doing a stream the other day, and there were some German people who were like United fans who watched the United stand, and they were just saying, I just love the British football over Christmas. I wish did it. Because they have that break, don't they? And I think, you know, Christmas is great, but imagine not having the Boxing Day games. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go on the family walk or play Monopoly. Whereas it's like you can go, I will be around for Boxing Day evening, but afternoon I'm watching or going to the football. So yeah, but yeah, I suppose, yeah, it makes sense. I know in Ireland they run their league through the summer.
I think we can do more in the summer. I like the Christmas fixtures, but I just find it absolutely crazy. Like, we don't do more in the best time of weather. And, like, there's a lot of people about.
Imagine if they stopped the season from January till March, though. Oh, we'll start in March, go through till Christmas. Oh, imagine that. January to March.
That is.
January is the saviour to me, because Christmas is over. A lot of people get fed up. And then I look at the fixtures and I go, Man United have got 8 games in January. Arsenal got 9 games. It's like wall-to-wall football. And you're like, no time to think. Get the tree down and get up for something else.
I think we need to starve ourselves a little bit more, though, because, you know, I really love my NFL. I watch the Pat McAfee show. Obviously, NFL one is so condensed. I'm not saying that. But, like, the anticipation's just so more. And the fact they're putting the Club World Cup in, which could be good, could be bad. But I just feel like we need a little bit of to be starved of it a little bit more, to love it a bit more.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
You can't avoid it anymore, Manchester United.
Well, I want to talk about that Salah-Henry thing, but no, we're talking about Man United. Very, very easy to talk about Manchester United. I think that it's probably not been this bad for a very long time. And God, it's been bad. But I think the refreshing thing about the United fan base at the moment is you're always going to get the toxics, you know, that just do not understand Player FC. I don't understand it. You know, Marcus Rashford did that interview saying that he basically wanted to leave, and I was getting death threats again. I mean, I slept very well that night, but my point is, then Andy Mitten's like a respected Man United journalist, and on Sunday he put a story out saying that Man United, he's spoken to previous Man United managers who basically said Rashford's been an issue for years, which you could argue, well, why didn't that come out sooner? But it's come out now.
Yeah,
he ends up with death threats and everything. So you're just sort of like, it's a weird thing at the moment, because there's still this toxicity around things that really shouldn't matter. But we are a mess at the moment. But there is a, as I say, that's a terrible Christmas. 3 losses, no goals scored. It's enough to make you, it's enough to put you off your Christmas pudding. But actually, I just compartmentalized it and went, I'm having a good Christmas. I love Man United. And we're a mess. And I suppose the truth sets you free, doesn't it? And
yeah.
The good thing about Amrim is he does speak the truth. And I think there's been so many people that have been blamed. Like, it's not Marcus Rashford's fault. He might be a problem, but he's not the reason. It wasn't Mourinho. It wasn't Ollie. It wasn't Rangnick. It wasn't Ten Hag. It's not Amrim. It's not Bruno Fernandes. You know, it's not Casemiro. It's not Garnacho. It's just a massive accumulation of problems that have been allowed to just grow over year and year and year. And you've got a manager now who's lost God knows how many Premier League games in a row and normally would be under massive pressure, but no Man United fan will jump on it, even if the media try it, because they're sort of like going, well, everyone knows we're shit. We know the players aren't shit. We know the Premier League's really good this year. So this is the reality. And the only way out of it for me, and I'd be interested to know what you think looking out, is they need to get rid of these players and bring better players in. And they're sort of saying, we ain't got the money to do that. So I expect it to get worse.
But I think we touched on it a while back as well. Like, not to the point where, like, we're at Birmingham City where we got relegated, but you need to get it to a point of, like, where you're heading almost, of no return, where it's like people have to accept. Like, I just find the recruitment mad, where you are now at a level because of where you've fallen to, that you will, you know, Gorkarez that we speak about, you know, you couldn't have bought him when he left to go to Sporting Lisbon, because everyone would be perceived as like, what are you doing that for? But now I think you could be in a position to buy a player out of a top level championship side. So I just think it's perception, changing it around. And with Amrim, he looks like he knows what he wants to do. He knows how he wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be sort of infiltrated by anybody else. So I think that's a really good one, that you're going to have this figurehead that you can sort of go, actually, I do trust him. And we do need to get it bad. And also, it just proves everything right that we've been saying. It is absolutely awful. And this is what happens when it is bad.
What I find hilarious is that, and thankfully, I don't really need to listen to it much, but I think there's so many ex-players who've said it, it'd be unfair to pick on one. He needs to change the system. He needs to go back to a back four. And you're sort of like going, I don't know how thick the producers are on these mainstream outlets, but it's just verbal diarrhea. Like, so you recruit a manager from a club where he's got a very distinctive 3-4-3 style. And after a month with the players not being able to do it because they're shit, He must not. He must abandon everything he believes in and go to a back four. And they're saying it with their mouth. They're like that. He needs to go back to. And you're just like, what? What is this? Like, what he needs to do is what he's doing is show the world the truth that these players can't play this system, and then be given the tools or time to get them to play the system or replace them. And look, we've got Liverpool on Sunday. We will lose. I predicted we would lose against Newcastle. I hate doing that. We will lose. We might lose badly. But I think he could lose 7-0 to Liverpool. It's really weird, actually. I think Amrim could lose 7-0 to Liverpool at Anfield on Sunday and come out of the game stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just the proof of the pudding, isn't it? You go, yeah. I got this job because we are shit. Mm. I've had the job for 2 months. We've been shit. I've not had a transfer window. I need to replace the shit. So it's just a realisation, isn't it? So you had them down for fourth. Do you think they'll still get there?
Fourteenth, did I? I say fourth.
I'll just double check. No, it was fourth.
Yeah, no chance. I don't actually think they'll get in the top half. And that's privilege to put us in the top half. The bottom line is it'd be disrespectful to so many teams to put Man United in the top half. I think what people sometimes forget and what we should say halfway through a season is when you get to this point, history shows us that the teams that go down deserve to go down, and the team that wins the league is normally the team that plays the best football. Well, that's exactly where we are. Man United deserve to be 14th, and they deserve to get beat by Newcastle and Wolves, and that's just where they are at the moment. I never would have thought we would be here, but we did start off the season. I actually think we'd be higher if Ten Hag stayed because the players were more suited to his system. We might have been in ninth, but you know, sometimes you've got to fall to climb. And God, have we fallen.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
Just before we get into the best of the rest of the top half as well, some of the other predictions you had. First manager to be sacked ended up being Erik ten Hag, didn't it? Was it ten Hag?
Yeah, I wouldn't have predicted that, would I?
You actually had Nuno Espirito Santo to be sacked.
Oh my God, don't put that out! Did I?
Yeah, yeah. You said he's not very good manager and he's a little bold. No, you just said, you had him down to be sacked.
What a job he's done.
What a job he's done, yeah.
I've still only watched them once this year.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it? They're sort of like just slipping under the radar, playing the system that they play and doing very well. So, you know, you can't be blamed for that.
What did they do over Christmas? They beat
Everton in the last game. Yeah, yeah. And then
beat Brentford away.
Yeah. So
only team to do that. Those results are incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah. How do you feel about that one?
As I said, if I really was a Forest fan, I'm about 2 months late for the reveal, aren't I? But no, I've only actually seen them once, and that was against United. And I actually thought we should have beat them. But they did well to win it. There must be something about them that they're a good team because they went to Brentford and won. They went to Everton and win. And you know the results like going to Liverpool. I think if they played that 10 times, they probably would have got beat 8. But they've had some good results. But it's the games where they're beating the Brentfords and the Evertons. That's where you know they're... Because it's hard to win, isn't it? 3 or 4 games in a row in this league. And I think they've won their last 5. So, look, I'd love... If United aren't going to be in the top 4, I'd love a Bournemouth or a Forest to do it. But it's there for somebody, isn't it? Because I think 5th place will get in there this year. We messed it up last year, didn't we? But when you look at it, it will be Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool and Arsenal, but there is a spot there. And Villa, Newcastle, they're not definitely going to
From Villa in 9th to Chelsea in 4th is 6 points.
Yeah.
And with those sort of teams and the way the league's going, that can turn around really quickly, can't it?
And not being in Europe could be massive for some of them as well.
Well, let's speak of some of those sides that are not in Europe. You had Newcastle United in 5th and they've had a bit of a really good Christmas, haven't they? They were sort of on the precipice. Yeah. You said they were going to go under the radar. They didn't have European football and you thought people were sort of not backing them. You've got your fist pumping because you're looking good.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, look, the Nuno one worries me, so I needed to redeem myself. I think with Newcastle, they're probably about where I thought they would be. Yeah. No European football. Eddie Howe's a good coach. If they can keep people fit, I mean, look, Botman's never fit, is he? And still,
the back line worries me. But like, even like Lewis Hall, doesn't it? Like, I mean, it was deflected. Actually, I was going to say the crossing, but like, he's had a really good start to the season. Just those two centre backs worry me a little bit. And then with Nick Pope out as well, it's like.
Yeah.
The midfield, that was the most frustrating thing probably for you, wasn't it? Like going into that game against Newcastle, their midfield's absolutely unbelievable. And then he puts out those in there. I was like, even I could say that's a bit.
But then again, don't you think, again, that's just clever for Amorim because he can't pick Ugarte because he's suspended. Maynou probably wasn't fully fit. So he picks Eriksen and Casemiro. And every United fan's looking at that and going, it's going to get run through more than Lily Phillips. But they're on £500,000 a week, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's a message in itself, isn't it? Yeah, every United fan knows they shouldn't play, but they're on £500,000 a week. But anyway, but no, back to Newcastle. That
Who's Lily
three.
Phillips?
I don't know. I just borrowed it from a Christmas cracker joke. It was one of them Toy Story ones.
Imagine that'd be a good one to know. Because you do that at the Christmas table and then say, like, your granddad laughs and you're like, well, hang on a minute. How do you know? What's going on there?
I read it in the Daily Mail. I did read it in the Daily Mail. So
And I believe that.
Yeah.
So you had Newcastle in fifth, Chelsea down in sixth. Now, a lot of the chat was around, you sort of mentioned Maresca to be the first to be sacked. I definitely would have. I think if we've said it before, if we were to have an apology of the season, it would be to Maresca. Bit of an iffy Christmas period. Palmer not at his best, but the way he's transformed everything there, he deserved a lot of praise.
I remember we did this at the start of on the podcast at the start of 2024, and I said I thought that Chelsea would be a team for 2024 that would have a good 24 calendar year, and they did, but they had a bad finish to the year. And I think that we mustn't forget that where they were at the start of 2024 to the end, they went from a joke to an established top four team who was nearly in a title race. Now they've obviously blown that with the last couple of games against Fulham. And I thought Fulham-Chelsea was a brilliant game, actually. I watched that. But I didn't watch the Ipswich-Chelsea game. That was a surprise. But they've come a long way. And I think that we did speak before Christmas, didn't we? You're in a title race, whether you want to be or not. And they'll be there going, oh, we bloody told you we're not in a title race. But you were in one, and now you're not. Chelsea, I'd take that growth from Man United, you know, a laughing stock to top four by the end of this year. I'd love that. So I think Chelsea are in a good place, young team, and Maresca's done a good job there. I still think they just need a striker. I think that Nicholas Jackson, he scores in spurts, doesn't he? And you need a consistent striker in that team. And they're still a bit young, but I think if Chelsea get top four, and they will do, that's a really good season for them.
The best of the rest, just to round that out, you had Spurs in seventh and Villa in eighth. Villa down in ninth at the moment and Spurs all the way down in 11th. But crucially, between ninth and 11th, we speak about how close the top is, but from ninth to 11th is 5 points.
Yeah, I think teams like Bournemouth have been the real separator this year, haven't they? And as we said, Forest, Fulham, none of them in Europe. Really energetic sides, catching teams out. Villa Champions League was probably why I put them low. I think they're a good team, Villa, but it's hard to do what they're being asked to do. Spurs are Spurs. Ange's back and under threat again, isn't he? I mean, you're a big fan of Ange. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, drew last time out to Wolves, didn't they? Lost the week before that. Newcastle at home on Saturday is going to be absolutely massive.
Yeah, well, look, last league win was against Southampton away, and that came off the back of those disappointing results. And then, I mean, the Manchester City 4-0 one seems a lifetime ago, doesn't it? So I think just frustrating, even as a non-Spurs fan, but a big Ange sympathiser, because it feels this year, again, it's probably a bit like that Arsenal effect, isn't it? Like Spurs will look, and then they'll look at like Bournemouth and Forest being up there, and you're like, well, hang on a minute. We have got to be there if we're going to be challenging. So, yeah, I just hope he keeps his job. Obviously, if it goes even worse, you've got to hold your hands up. But again, it's like better the devil you know, isn't it? So, to be fair, as much as I like to criticise you, get into you, really give you a little dig in the ribs, I actually think you've done quite well there. The bottom three sides, you obviously predicted all promoted sides.
I'm bang on with that, aren't I?
But I did say I felt Ipswich could come good as they got better and played more Premier League football. Obviously, it does help me as we sat here after they've just beat Chelsea 2-0. I only caught the highlights, but I mean, Liam Delap.
The problem you've got, Will, is, and I'll let you talk about relegation, is that you've got to take somebody into the bottom three. And yeah. I that's what I look at it. And I think that Everton have started picking. I mean, Everton had an amazing run where they drew at Chelsea. They drew Drew at home to Chelsea, drew at Arsenal, and then they drew at Man City as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Three points from Arsenal, Arsenal, Chelsea and Man City all unbeaten, and then they lose 2-0 at home to Forest.
Yeah, typical. But yeah, Palace have started to have a renaissance. Wolves have sacked their manager and picked up 7 from 9. I can't see you. Maybe Man United.
Yeah. In terms of, if we were doing a graph, you'd be the biggest loser so far. So
you know what? There's some United people and journalists doing it, and I'm just like, I'm all for content, but that is just never happened. Man United will not get relegated. It's just not going to happen. And that's the problem Ipswich and Leicester have got, because Southampton are gone, aren't they? It's all right. They might get to 35 points if they have a really good end to the season, but I still think that won't even be enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at to the point where, especially now Wolves have sacked their manager, and you know they had a really good Christmas as well, didn't they? They obviously beat Tottenham, drew with Tottenham.
7 from 9.
Yeah. So, yeah, as much as I don't like to see it, and then, I mean, we'll probably have this conversation next year, and the sides that are coming up from the Championship,
I looked at it over Christmas. There's no one there that I go, ooh, they'll do well in the Prem.
You'll have to wait for us to do the double bounce, and then we're on.
I think you're right. I think Birmingham and Wrexham would probably be one of the two that I'd look at and go, with the financial support and the way they're doing it, they might actually... That's what you need, I think, now. I think you need to come in with a plan. And,
well, it feels like everyone comes in, the plan is to go, we'll buy a little bit and we'll be really strong in the Championship. Then we'll try and do it again. And like, there are teams that do bounce, but like, the Championship is a very cruel mistress, and you're just not guaranteed to sort of...
Well, it'll be interesting in the FA Cup next weekend, won't it? Because I bet this happened last year, you know, it's like when Newcastle went to Sunderland, I thought, oh, this is going to be a big cup tie. And then Newcastle just brushed them aside, and it wasn't like Sunderland weren't trying. I just think the gap is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, we'll have a look at the matches ahead of the coming weekend as well. Just to round off the predictions, you said Mo Salah for player of the season.
Yeah, 100%. That was a good prediction from me. It sounds obvious now, but in the summer it wasn't necessarily. It's interesting with Mo Salah, because I've spoken about him a lot. We've spoken about him a lot. I think he's massively underrated. Hopefully he will be in the Ballon d'Or conversation this year, It's just ridiculous how few that happens. But I saw a very interesting clip on, I think it must have come up on Twitter, from Joey Barton, who's gone very quiet, actually. He doesn't get recommended much at all since he lost that case with the cyclist. But he was saying that basically Mo Salah is the worst good player ever, or something like that. And he's got friends who go and watch him play for Liverpool, and he misses so many chances, and he's not a natural finisher, and he's a bad penalty taker. And it was in relation to the conversation comparing him to Thierry Henry with his record. And I was just like, everyone's entitled to an opinion, but it's a bad opinion, Joey. And what a surprise. It's a bad opinion, because you're looking at Thierry Henry. If I think about Paul Scholes, I'm seeing these, you know, sat-nav passes and, you know, volleys from the edge of the box. But if I watch him for 90 minutes, he'll misplace 3 passes. He'll shoot 3 over the bar. So when you think of Thierry Henry, you're thinking of Thierry Henry in 4K highlights. But with Salah, we're watching him. We're watching 90 minutes where we'll see a misplaced pass, this, that, and the other. In 10 years' time, there'll be another player and they'll get compared to Salah, and we'll be watching Salah in 4K highlights. And this is we're living Salah, whereas Henry is in the past. Now, I still think Henry is better than Salah as a pure talent, but I do think we are witnessing a Premier League great. And it sounds like he might be here for another couple of years, according to David Ornstein. But I mean, he's a fantastic player, and you can't say he's a bad finisher, because if he's a bad finisher, he'd obliterate Alan Shearer's record by now. He's a fantastic player, I don't know what it is. I even detect it from people like Carragher and certainly the mainstream. I just think, a bit like Man City, it's Rodri the problem. And I think with Mo Salah, if he was French, he'd get a lot more credit. I just think he's just because he's from a country that's not traditionally a footballing superpower. But I think he will win Player of the Year. And it might be the year of the Ballon d'Or for Salah if Liverpool... Well, they'll win the league, and I predicted they'd win the Champions League as well, which is a bit worrying. Win a treble.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do as well, what we sort of mentioned about biggest losers maybe being Arsenal and Arteta, but I mean, Liverpool, Salah, keeping Salah, Mo Salah could win a Ballon d'Or, Liverpool could win a treble. And also Liverpool, for the back end of 2025, if we're having this conversation then, really could be the side that we're, you know, we're speaking about, like we did Manchester City, wasn't it? So, oh, Liverpool are going to win back-to-back.
Yeah.
Man City have dropped off. Slot knows what he's doing. Van Dijk's still there. Salah's still there. So, I mean, they could be the biggest winners of 2025.
I think 2025, I mean, look, you come out of Christmas, all the food, you know, you're tired, some alcohol some people drink a lot of. But actually, over the next couple of weeks, over the next couple of days, people are going to start to detox, get more sleep, drink less alcohol, eat better food, and the minds will start to sharpen. Well, my mind is sharp now. 2025, in a footballing sense, might not have a summer tournament, but in a British Premier League sense, we are heading towards something massive. And it's basically not been spoken about for a while. It's the Premier League court case with Manchester City. Because whichever way that goes, it's going to have a huge impact on football. If Man City win that case, the floodgates open for them to spend a lot of money, which they've got, and they'll probably be back next year. If they lose that case, then they're probably going to drop further, maybe even out of the division, but they'll certainly be in big trouble. And then that opens the door for Liverpool to dominate. Can Arsenal stick with them? So I think going into 2025, it's not a predictor. There is a big thing that's going to come and change the landscape of the Premier League title race.
I just can't see it going bad for them, just because nothing I know, and obviously I wouldn't know, but like, you know, the amount of leaks and the amount of people like that want it to go bad for them. If it was going that way, I just think we'd know a little bit more about that. You know, like, you tell me a secret and it's really good, salacious gossip. You go, don't tell anyone. All right, Mark.
I don't think they haven't made the decision yet, have they?
I thought they had. I thought it had come to an end.
No. The case has come to an end and it's now deliberation.
But you know what I mean? I don't know. You just get a sense it was going one direction and I just don't think it will do that way. But yeah, if it does go that way, and even if they win, like, you know, for like a Newcastle or for other teams that have got the money to potentially spend and can be like, well, hang on a minute. Like, I think that could be very interesting as well.
I just think the very, very minimum they'll get a points deduction for next season.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And that wipes them out for 2 years, doesn't it? I also think Pep will go in the summer.
What, even after the 2 years?
Yeah, I actually think that contract was just to try and steady a sinking ship at that time. I know it got worse after the contract, but I think the speculation, they felt that it was, you know, I'm sure there's a break clause in there. I know they say there isn't, but he doesn't look, the team doesn't look motivated. The fans don't look motivated and he doesn't look motivated. And I don't think a couple of £100 million is going to necessarily change that.
If I had a £200 spa voucher to give to any Premier League manager, I would have given it to Pep Guardiola and say,
"Yeah,
have a rest. Stop scratching yourself. Here's some moisturiser. Relax. You know,
here's some water so you can generate more spit because you're really struggling with that.
Exactly.
And, yeah, digital detox. Yeah. No books about football.
What's it called? Ayahuasca, where you go and I think you go and sit in a blacked out room for 4 days and you don't know what's going on. Maybe he needs that.
Bloody hell, that sounds a bit extreme.
But yeah, well, it's an extreme time. Hang on 2 seconds. It's just a plane going overhead. It's gone. What was I going to say? Before we get on to Premier League predictions for this week, Wayne Rooney sacked as Plymouth manager. Fun fact for pub quizzes, Wayne Rooney was the first manager to be sacked of 2024 in the Championship, and he was the last manager to be sacked of 2024 in the Championship. People like you are getting him jobs, and we need to stop it. Yes, he was a great player, one of the best, but that don't mean diddly squat when you're out in Plymouth on the piss. Your players are all over the place. There's rumours he was sleeping in the office. Lovely bloke, I'm sure. I'm so excited for when he goes back on Stick to Football Match of the Day and they go, what went wrong? Well, I didn't get another transfer window or the club was like that. Hang on a minute. Hold your hands up and say it was your fault because you were not a very good manager and that's fine. I'm not very good at certain things. Mark, I'm 33. I can't drive. That's something I've got to hold my hands up. Wayne Rooney, not a good football manager. And you need to stop saying, because he was an ex-player, he's got a chance. His chance has gone. I rest my case, Your Honour.
Tell you what, I tell you who didn't really take advantage of that, Pieface. You know, they were playing good.
He was in a tricky position though, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it started so badly and you can't go, oh.
Yeah, he was in a tricky position. Yeah, to be fair, you're right. But I think, you know, like over Christmas, you get a little bit like swipey on your phone and start reading stuff you wouldn't normally read. I saw an article about Rooney's new mansion. And I thought, you know what? One thing he's never not going to do, whether he's a crap manager or he's misunderstood, he's never not going to make a lot of money, is he? I mean, he'd have made a lot of money out of Birmingham. He'd have made a lot of money out of Plymouth. Like you say, he's going to wander straight back into BT, Sky and stick to football. You know,
I like him as a pundit. I think he's good. Like,
so he's always, you know, he can always get in contact with Ginge and have a bit of a kick about. So he's sorted financially. I don't think he needs to let it bother him that much. I just felt with Birmingham, obviously that's close to your heart. So I think Birmingham are in a good place now. But with Plymouth, I don't massively understand the EFL to the level that you and others do. But I looked at that job and I was like, that's not the job to take because they nearly got relegated last year. They're going to be relegation candidates this year. And people are going to expect you to actually have them in a playoff race. So it was never going to work out. But obviously, when you're getting stuffed by Lampard, who's just gone to Coventry or having a bad season, the writing's on the wall. And ultimately, forget Wayne Rooney, Gerrard, Lampard. What is it that people don't understand that just because you're an amazing footballer, you're going to be an amazing coach? Like being an amazing footballer is being told what to do and having amazing individual talent. Being a good manager is being able to manage multiple personalities. They're completely different profiles. And yet people think because you've played the game, you're going to be a good coach. And actually, that's why so many of them fail.
Yeah. And also, he might be a good first team coach, you know, like slip in somewhere. I just think where we are is you have to be an ambassador as a manager now, don't you? You know, that's why I think Amorim's very good because you have to deal with so much press. And although he is a good pundit, he's a second fiddle. Like he wouldn't be a lead presenter, is he? He's never going to be a Gary Lineker. And it almost ties into what he is as a manager as well. Like the amount of, like the circle of manager, the different breakdowns, if it was like Trivial Pursuit, say there was eight pieces of being a manager from tactics, coaching, everything like that. Some of you, very good at, but like when we had him, like it was great for a week, but like you see his first pre-match press conference or post-match press conference, you can't get behind that. So I think stay in football, maybe stick to football, but yeah, not as that manager. And I think, you know, even in an England setup, he could really offer something, but just as a manager, hold your hands up and say thank you very much.
Wayne, I've got my crystal ball for 2025. I see you on a stick to football watch along wearing a Liverpool shirt, jumping on top of Carragher and, you know, just having a bit of a good bit of scripted fun.
What a lovely life that is. Yeah. Should we round off by looking at the Premier League fixtures? Because it's at the time of the year where you don't know what day of the week it is. We're recording this on a Thursday. So
another weekend in 2 days just feels weird. But
It does actually, doesn't it?
We'll all be praying for one this time next week. We'll be like, fucking hell, it's the longest week in the world.
Yeah, we'll be back in the Goldbridge Arms on Monday. That's the 6th. Saturday, I'll just check there's no Friday one. Oh, there is. Edrioni's versus Falkirk, but we won't be covering that. It's Tottenham versus Newcastle at 12:30 Saturday.
Yeah. That could be big for Ange if he loses that.
Could be a big loss as well, I think. Newcastle just feel like they're ticking, don't they? I'm going Newcastle, you.
It's that midfield, yeah. Yeah.
Newcastle there. Bournemouth, Everton. Ooh.
It should be Bournemouth. But yeah, you know what? Bournemouth and Brighton, they get in that position, you go, oh, that should be a win. And then they don't win. Like Bournemouth drew with, was it Fulham?
Fulham, yeah, yeah.
0-0. Which was, to be fair, I was glad that was a draw because they're both doing well. But yeah, I'll go Bournemouth to beat Everton.
Villa, Leicester. Leicester just seem a bit leaky. Yeah, Villa there. Palace, Chelsea. Oh, tough place to go.
It is a tough place to go. And I think Chelsea, I feel they might be vulnerable there. I'd probably go for a draw.
I'll stick with you on a draw. Man City, West Ham.
Because Bowen's injured, isn't he, now for a while?
Yeah. Southampton, Brentford. Brighton, Arsenal.
What, Brentford away? Their record's terrible. I think they're both bottom of the league for away form.
Yeah, great. But they're playing Southampton.
I'm going to go Southampton.
Wow, okay. Nice. I like that.
That'll be a good one for Monday.
Yeah, lovely. And then you'll hold your hands up. You're the new Antichrist. Brighton, Arsenal. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I would say that, well, again, shall I do it, Arsenal fans? I'll jinx you again in a positive way. I'll say Brighton win that because I thought Brentford would beat you. So maybe Arsenal's steely 2025 start could continue. But I will go with the Brighton win, yeah.
I'm going to go for Arsenal. I think defensively they are looking very, very solid. And although Saka's out, I think they'll manoeuvre those waters better than they did.
Have you noticed how a lot of teams beat Man City and everyone goes amazing and then they fall off? Like Brighton beat Man City, fell off for a month.
Yeah.
Spurs beat Man City, fall off. Man United beat Man City, fall off. It's not well, I don't know. I've just noticed that those three teams.
Yeah, hey, and you were right to notice that.
Yeah.
Fulham versus Ipswich. Oh, I'm gonna go draw for that. 1-1.
Yeah, you feel Ipswich need to follow that Chelsea result up, but yeah. I'm going to go Fulham.
Liverpool, Manchester United, Liverpool.
Yeah.
And Monday night football. Oh, they keep doing Monday night football. Wolves versus Forest. Now, that's the one you go, well, actually, if you watch it, we go, I'm not watching it.
Monday night football really does. I can't remember the last Monday night match I watched. Oh, Man United, Newcastle. But that's Christmas.
Yeah,
that's
that was different. A Christmas Monday,
and
wasn't
it?
And
it's Man United.
There's been no like proper Monday night football.
There must be something going on midweek then if there's a Monday. Oh, is it maybe it's Carabao next week?
Carabao, Arsenal, Newcastle, and then Tottenham, Liverpool as well in the week.
Which, to be fair, they are semi-finals. And,
yeah.
You know, for Newcastle and Spurs, who are the underdogs in those games.
Massive.
It would be good for them to get into Europe or win a trophy, wouldn't it? And Arsenal probably need a trophy, so.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're back. Back in a bit of rhythm. We'll be back in the Goldberg Arms on Monday. And yeah, get your comments in down below. Make sure you hit a like and also subscribe because it helps us out really much. And it's just lovely to see you, Mark. It's great to see that you're healthy and well.
Well, I like the podcast. It's a different type of content, isn't it? So yeah, good to be back. And if you've took your Christmas tree down early, get it back up for 3 days. Get in the loft, get it up. Christmas ain't finished yet.
I tried to keep ours on the balcony for a year, but it went a lovely shade of orange in September. So I had to buy a new one.
What, a real one?
Yeah, a real one, yeah. Because he was like, keep it planted in the pot and you'll be fine. But he was a liar.
Yeah, yeah. Recycle them.
Yeah, I'll just chuck it off the balcony like I'm Kurt Cobain, some sort of rock star, and we'll go from there.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Absolute legends. We're back on Monday, so it's a short... We might have had a big break over Christmas, but it's a short break now because we're back on Monday reviewing the weekend and all the action. And we'll certainly have more reaction to, like, Pratt to the week and everything like that. The problem is, over Christmas, we probably didn't pay enough attention to some of the bigger... smaller incidents.
It just moves so fastly, doesn't it? You got one Pratt 1 minute and then you got another one going, look at me, I'm a massive Pratt. You can't move for Pratt.
Yeah, definitely. What was your favourite TV like highlight of Christmas?
Without a shadow of a doubt, Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I thought it was really funny. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to agree with you on that one. I don't normally at 6 o'clock on Christmas Day evening sit and watch anything, but we did sit and watch that. We watched Gavin and Stacey, which I thought was very predictable. But it was okay, but it was very predictable.
What was your most surprisingly good gift?
I did well for gifts this year. I got my Jaws Lego set, which I wanted.
Did you give the Scare Electric to Seb?
Yeah. I've had massive problems with that.
Oh.
We set it up. It worked really well. And then I can't get both tracks working now. I've took it apart. I've hoovered it. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just... really temporary. I've had to put it back in the box and hide it because he wants to play it. And I'm like, I can't get it working. So very disappointed in that. But an amazing set, but just disappointed with that. What was my best prize? To be honest, they're all still in a pile in the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, been so busy. I'll sort of go and start having a play with them in a bit.
What were you bevving on the most?
I'd say mainly lager, actually.
Yeah, nice.
You?
Guinness when I was out and then lager at home, yeah.
Yeah, I really went through. We got through loads of lager on New Year's Eve. I had all like rum and gin and, you know, you try and get everything in and then everyone's like, I'll just have a lager for now. It's like midnight, people are still drinking the lager, you're nearly running out.
Yeah.
Somebody have a gin and tonic.
Yeah, you have got to mix it up. I went out just before Christmas and I'm not a big drinker, so I was on 5 or 6 Guinness and it was just, I had too much cream in my mouth.
Mm. Oh, then that's not even the Guinness, just... Tell you what, freebies again.
Yeah, just to end on, I actually went out in Manchester, went to this pub that is famous for karaoke. We got there, my mate was like, I don't want to go in. Saw a woman who was, and I thought it was a bloke to start with, in her 60s. She pulled down her trousers and boxer shorts and just did a big piss in the street and said, he said, I can't go to the toilet in there. So she did a dirty protest. And I thought, that's Christmas.
That is Christmas.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Big shout out to everyone who's listening. We're back on Monday. Thanks very much to Will.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll speak to you all in a bit.
Bye.